Now, with me now, David Shapiro from Assassin Securities. And David, I've missed you. That's where I have to start. We haven't engaged for ages, and so much has changed. We're in a bull market, it appears. But first of all, just give us a sense of how you are navigating the current environment in South Africa with this rally in equities, the rally in the rand. Is it sustainable?
I hope so. I say I hope so because certainly for the last couple of years, I have been very positive offshore and have shifted an enormous amount of money offshore. And, waiting for something positive to happen. I think the election has now opened the way for us to move ahead. When I say move ahead, it's the first time in many, many years that I've seen optimism about South Africa. And it's a very potent force, optimism. It can be a big driver of energy and a big driver of growth. So we've got to hope that we can stay that course. The one thing that's evident, and from the interview that you've just done with Martinez from Rainbow, South Africa has some wonderful businesses, that have been upheld by a stagnant economy, an impotent economy. So I think that if we can unleash that force, there's plenty to be positive about South Africa. But it's not going to come easy. That's the point. It's not going to come easy.
I was listening to an interview that Alec did with Helen Ziller, the federal chairperson of the Democratic Alliance, the DA, and she was saying exactly what you are highlighting. It's going to take time. This is not a quick fix. It's a complicated political scenario, but the positive momentum is there. And Alec and I were also chatting last week, is that it is groundbreaking in terms of, for the first time, having more voices at the table, more checkpoints in terms of what is being executed on the public policy side. So great if we can maintain this, but we're going to have to be patient. And that was what Helen Ziller was saying. I think that's what you are echoing as well.
I wrote an article for today in the Jewish Report, and I was asked to write something about how I see things. And my conclusion, and I've been saying this for a long time, people will invest in a country in which they want to live, work, and bring up their children. So you've got to create that environment. You don't need fancy strategies. You don't need massive industrial what's with
Plans afoot, you really
thanks,
need to.
John. Sorry, I lost my way there, but I'm saying you don't need that because people are natural investors. They're natural entrepreneurs. And I think in order to do that, you've just got to create an environment where we all behave ourselves, stick to the rules. And I think there's enough goodwill in South Africa to drive this forward, and we've seen it in the past. So do not believe that people really want to pack up their bags and go. It's an easy country in which to live. You've got some wonderful people here, and I think all you need to do is that, enhance these forces. So the infrastructure's been there. We just need to maintain it a little, spend a bit of time fixing it all up. But I think that it's not as though it's not there. It's there, but it hasn't been maintained. So I think if we can get that going, and also, Ronwin, you've got a massive mining sector. You've got massive opportunities, whether it's in farming, whether it's in tourism, that you can embrace. And this is what we tried to embrace 30 years ago. I always say the train never left the station. I'm just hoping this time it leaves on time. So yes, we can do it. And I think this has given us some kind of hope.
So let's talk about the markets and coming back to that point of sustainability. Because David, you've been through many of these cycles, political, economic, you've seen the ebbs and the flows. Most people are there saying, should we be getting into the market right now? And I know that you've got that proverbial statement alongside with so many different expert market players that you don't try and time the market. But I think everyone's looking and saying, have I missed the rally? Should I get in now?
You know, I I think there's going to be a global rally. Okay. That's in our favor. You know, I still remain very positive on the US market. We're going into a period where rates are going to start coming down. That will lead to rates coming down in the rest of the world, certainly Europe and in the UK, and that will follow through here, percolate here as well. We'll start to see rates coming down. So you're going to go into a period where global markets are brimming and are moving forward. That gives you a lot to work with. So I think what we need to do now, what we have to watch in South Africa is whether we can start working on the economy and getting people to believe in South Africa, because government doesn't create jobs. I'm not the one who made this up. You know, this I've taken from somewhere else. Government doesn't create jobs. It's businesses that create jobs. So when they get the confidence that they will create the jobs, I think what we do have to address, though, Bronwyn, is we have to start easing back on political ideology. You know, things that have kept us backwards, things that actually restrict or prevent foreigners from coming out. Oh, you know, we need to put down. You've got here, when I came onto Riverside, it said, you know, roll out the red carpet. What does it say? You know, so I think we need that red carpet
for foreign direct investment and not put obstacles.
Yeah. Put obstacles in people's path and say, this is the way you have to behave. This is who you have to employ, and so on. And if we do that, everybody will benefit. So I'm saying this is where I'm hoping this government and national unity will start to address those issues that have kept foreign investment from coming into this country.
I was listening to Kokkie Kooyman. Obviously, we go back a long time with Kokkie on various news desks, business news desks. And he was talking about the positivity in the financial stocks, given what we've seen and the positive sentiment around the GNU or the Government of National Unity. How do you feel about the banking play? Just across from Kokkie Kooyman.
The one thing about South Africa, through all the bad times, the financial sector has been solid. You know, and credit to the Reserve Bank, credit to Treasury, credit to the way that our banks have been run. And the JSE. You know, despite the criticism that the JSE has come under, it still maintained its course. It still runs a very good operation. So I think that gives investors a big confidence. At the moment, what I'm looking at, and I've been talking about this quite a bit, I like the long end of the bond market. And you know me, I'm an equity trader. I'm not a bond. But you can plug in rates of 10.5, 11.5, and so on. Those are going to come down as things improve. What that's going to do as well, it's going to have an effect on the whole market, in the sense that once rates start to come down there, it means that the dividend yields that you're getting on banks become even more attractive. So they're going to be bought. And even if you look at the property market, Bronwyn, you've seen some big, big moves there as well, as people start to look at the property segment, which has been under pressure for a long time, simply because of the yields you're going to get. And that's another segment that has been incredibly well run. We've got some very good operators there that have suffered as a result of higher interest rates, and also because of a very sluggish economy and the other issues we've had from load shedding and higher costs and other things that have come in trying to run their operation. So I think when you start to look at that, there are opportunities in that sector. And I respect Kokkie. You know, he knows significantly more than I do about that area of the market.
So banks aside, you mentioned property. Where specifically are you seeing value? Can you give us a little color?
I think, you know, I'm not a property expert, but I always look at yield, and I'm saying, you know, where can clients put safe haven money and get good returns? And I'm sure in some of the, you know, if I start recommending, it's not going to be because I haven't done the research. But, you know, I was looking at Growthpoint, I was looking at Vukile, I was even looking at storage, I was looking at the gains that have been made in these kind of businesses. So I say I point people in that direction. Just start having a look at property stocks. You've got to do your research And you've got, you know, in the same question that I asked Martinez earlier, in that, how will interest rates coming down start to impact on those segments? I think those are going to be first out the block. Then we'll start to see the benefits of consumers having more money in their pocket as rates start to come down and they spend more and feel a bit more confident.
Any other sectors in the South African market before I pull you to the offshore market?
Yeah, well, that's going to be, our miners have come under pressure. And it's been a set. Just to go back a bit, the JSE is 80% offshore. You know, when you look at the miners and we start to look at all those big giants, AB InBev, British American Tobacco, Naspers, Process, all of those. So there's the JSE Inc., SA Inc. is actually a very small segment, but there's some very, decent companies within that. What I think is also going to happen is that rates start to come down, dollar starts to ease back a little, you're going to see commodity prices pick up. And this is a segment not necessarily related to government and national unity, but this is a segment that also could start to pick up. The one worry is on China, but even today, China is realizes that they have to start pushing up their economy and giving it some stimulus. Because commodity prices have come down as a result of that. So that's going to be an area we have to watch as well. But I just think it's all going to come together. And I'm not, you don't feel optimistic because you want to feel optimistic. There's a reason that you feel optimistic. And I think once we start to see rates come down, we've been through really tough years from COVID to the wars and so on. And I think we've gone through that and we're going to start to see growth becoming an imperative for a lot of the global economies.
We've chatted for so long about your offshore thesis, and I wish I had listened to you when you first put NVIDIA into the conversation. You were saying NVIDIA, 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 and look at where it is now. I think you started talking about NVIDIA back in 2017.
Yeah. for the wrong reasons, but nevertheless, I still think that tech is going to be the dominant force in global economy. Don't write it off. We might be slightly overbought, but I don't think we're grossly overbought. And these are very powerful businesses. And I think the more I read into it, the more you understand how artificial intelligence is going to help us do what we do. I think the other point is that with all the spend that takes place, we forget that there's a multiplier effect. I was talking to someone yesterday about data centers. I say, you think it's only NVIDIA's chips that are going in there. But when you build a new modern data center, you need cooling, you need power, you need wires, you need all those things that go around the investment. So there's a wide supply chain in the kind of spend that's taking place for AI that's going to continue to go for many, for a number of years. So I'm saying it's not time to sell all your big ones, your Microsofts and your Alphabets and your Amazons and your NVIDIAs and that. You can play this out for some time. This can continue for some time to go. But it's also going to give opportunities to other stocks that we haven't paid attention to. So there's a lot that we can I think there's a massive choice of where you can go.
You're sounding very positive on both the local front and the international front. But again, there are those steps that need to be demonstrated to give us the certainty that that sanity will prevail in what we've seen from the political side. David, just in terms of the rand, I know we've seen the strengthening. Again, it's in that optimism. You mentioned dollar strength potentially coming to the fore, interest rate cuts. Actually, you were saying the dollar's going to come back, didn't you?
Dollar weakness. Well, not weakness, but it'll ease back. Yeah, it'll ease off its highs. Yeah, that's going to help the rand.
That will help the rand.
Yeah.
It was the same thing that Martinez was mentioning earlier, that rand is such a key player in their business. From an input perspective, do you think we can find some stability at these stronger levels for the rand?
I think you're going to get a much better rand. You'll get around 1750, even lower than that. When it moves fast. So I think if all of this comes together, you can, and you know, there are two forces. There's a local force, which is up to us and it's up to the government, you know, to stand by what the president said yesterday. And then there's the international side. And I think on that side, once rates start to ease back in the US, look, you're going to have rates coming down in Europe and the UK and other places as well. So that might be a balancing force for the dollar. But I think the dollar is perhaps a little too strong and, you know, it'll come down. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a much stronger rand in the 17 to 50 era. It's not, it is certainly doable.
I'm going to be a little cheeky and borrow from our prior relationships. Do you have a hot stock for me, Mr. Shapiro?
you know what I like? On the local market, I've mentioned where I'm looking. I still think that for people warehousing money, I still think that our bond market's got some room. It's moved a lot, but I still like it very much. And you've got to appreciate where it's coming from an equity person. But on the offshore side, I still like the one area that I like very much is, and I know I'm going off now, is that weight loss drugs. I still think that moving away from technology, Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. I do a lot of reading into where weight loss drugs are going. I looked, there was a report yesterday from India where there are purportedly 18 million obese people and 240 million people who are overweight and who can't get these drugs, which are genuine drugs. These are not celebrity drugs. These are not there so that Kim Kardashian or whoever can lose a kilo or so. There are really long-term benefits to it. And in obesity and diabetes are very serious killers. So I think that, and these are proven drugs which not only help you lose weight and improve your life, but have a lot of other benefits as well. So I think this is an area that you can continue to watch, certainly as an investment area. Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, and I'm sure a lot of other companies are going to come soon with, you know, similar type of drugs.
And Eli Lilly, you mentioned Eli Lilly. What about the relationship with Aspen from a local perspective?
Yes, of course. That's right. Because I think they could get the license to produce those drugs here. So watch out for that news. And believe me, the demand is insatiable. And if you just go to any chemist in South Africa and ask for those drugs, they'll take out 20 foolscap pages of names that are on the waiting.
And I know that actually
Aspen
has got a deal with Eli on the weight loss drug. So I'll definitely get Stephen Sard lined up and see what he can do on that front. David, such a pleasure. I said to you, I missed you at the beginning. Have you missed me?
I have. It's not my fault. You don't phone me. I'm always around. As soon as you gave an invitation, I accepted. I was busy.
I look forward to many more engagements. It's so good to have this conversation again with you. David Shapiro, Sassman Securities. Thank you, sir.